When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Nick Cloud Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. I always love it when I get people either like screenshotting the commercial that I'm on with Pella or telling me they saw me on the commercial with Pella Windows and Doors. I just love it, man, because my experience with Pella and the work they did on my home was top-notch. The showroom in Omaha was amazing. The service, the finished product, it was all just first-class the entire way. Check out Pella online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Shoot 360 Lincoln. My brother and I are owners of the world's most advanced basketball training facility right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a membership-based national franchise that uses NBA level technology that provides real-time feedback after every shooting, passing, and ball handling rep you take inside of our beautiful facility. We got a really cool website that you got to check out, shoot360lincoln.com. You can learn more about the facility, the technology we use, what we offer in terms of camps, clinics, memberships, personal training, and so much more. So check us out, shoot360lincoln.com. And this pod is brought to you by the Autograph app. The Autograph app was co-founded by Tom Brady, and this app is really cool, man. Think of it as like a rewards program, but for just being a fan and doing what you do as a fan in terms of reading about your team, consuming different content, like listening to this podcast. It's all on the app for your favorite team, and the more you use it, the more points you earn, which then unlocks rewards for you. Download the Autograph app and use the code BAH, my last name, B-A-H-E. That's code BAH. Do it today. Okay, it is Sunday evening. It's been a hectic 36 hours or so since Creighton lost that heartbreaker in the Sweet 16 to Tennessee. You know, sometimes it's good to let the dust really settle a little bit before reflecting on that game and turn on the mic. Apologize for not getting this out to you sooner. But, you know, for me, let's kind of unpack this game. This game, in some ways, it played out how I thought it would, and in some ways, it was a lot different than I thought it would play out. So, Creighton loses to Tennessee, 82-75. Creighton led by one at half, but in all reality, the 18-0 run at the beginning of the second half just doomed Creighton. And so, when you really start to look at this game, I think I want to start with this. From a broad sense, in the end, Creighton's lack of athleticism and overall quickness, and I talked about those things pretty consistently all the way back in November and December, ended up kind of catching up with Creighton. In the end, Creighton's lack of athleticism, just it kind of caught up with them. Because if you stop and look at it, almost all of Creighton's losses, they kind of looked and felt the exact same. Where Colorado State, UNLV, at UConn, at Marquette, at St. John's, Providence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These teams just pinned their ears back, came after Creighton's ball handlers, heated up the Blue Jays, and Creighton just had a hard time running offense cleanly and on schedule and on time. And sitting courtside on the radio call for this Tennessee game, I'm telling you, the difference in athleticism and physicality was dramatic. I'm not sure how it looked on TV, if you guys were watching it on TV. I'm telling you, sitting there courtside, the level of athlete, the level of physicality between Tennessee and Creighton was dramatically different. For large stretches in that game, I mean, Creighton had a hard time even completing a pass, like initiating offense. Hell, there were even times where Creighton couldn't even get a shot off. Unfortunately, there were a couple times where, with about 3 seconds on the clock, they just, you know, Creighton would just throw Baylor Shireman a grenade and just say, hey, here you go, and he would just have to heave one up. So, listen, this Creighton team was really good, obviously. But they also were going to need some good fortune and some help with the right matchups, too. And that isn't to make an excuse for Creighton, because you can't have it both ways. You can't puff your chest out and talk about Creighton being a Final Four national title top 10 type team, but then also whine about a tough draw in the Sweet 16. I totally get that. But I think you can say that Creighton was really good, had a really good year, could have gone to the Final Four, but also say that this team, due to its overall kind of athleticism, wasn't matchup proof. And matchup proof is, by that term, I mean, like, there are certain teams, like, it doesn't matter what team you throw at them, they're going to be just fine. Like, UConn is matchup proof. That wasn't the case. And in that vein, Tennessee was just about as bad of a matchup as Creighton could have seen. They were big, strong, physical, athletic, excellent on defense. Tennessee was the most physical team I saw in person all year. And their top two defenders in that game, Zakai Ziegler and Jemiah Meshack, were two of the three or four best on-ball defenders I saw all season. They're the third-ranked KenPom defense in the country for a reason. And even though Creighton scored 75 points and ended up with only 9 turnovers, anyone that actually watched that game and doesn't just look at the box score knows that it was a struggle handling Tennessee's defensive pressure the entire game. Speaking of Jemiah Meshack, for as crazy as this sounds, I actually think Tennessee's Santiago Vescovi, their three-year starter on the wing, I think him getting sick and being unavailable and not playing in this game ended up actually hurting Creighton, because it meant more minutes for Jemiah Meshack, who was coming off the bench and now he's starting. And Meshack was the bigger, more athletic, better defensive player. And it was Meshack that kind of wrecked the game for Creighton, because he really gave Trey Alexander problems. Let's be real, and I love Trey, and I think he's a hell of a player, but that was one of his worst games of the season. And Meshack had a lot to do with it. Trey Alexander finished 3-for-12 from the field with 3 turnovers, but two of his shots that he made were garbage time late. So when it really mattered, Trey Alexander was like 1-for-11 from the field with 3 turnovers. So he couldn't shake Meshack and get into the paint. And the reality is, against that style of defense where it's going to be hard to run set plays and get that ball swung around on the perimeter, against that kind of defense, you're going to need someone to be able to just win one-on-one. And that is Trey Alexander typically for Creighton. But he really struggled. And the other reality is, your stars have to play well in the NCAA tournament, in particular when you get to the second weekend. And Trey Alexander just didn't have his A game. And it was clear from the start that was the case. I'm pretty sure the first time Trey Alexander touched the ball, Meshack just kind of went and took it from him. Just literally just like took the ball from him. And it was like, whoa, okay. And because of that, it put so much pressure on Baylor Shireman, especially early in that game, in the first half, to carry the load. And in that first half, Shireman just completely put Creighton on his back. Creighton really struggled early in that game. And when nobody could really do anything, Shireman was saving Creighton's bacon, was a total stud. In that first half, Shireman had 15 points, 4 rebounds, and defensively had to chase Dalton Connect around off screen after screen after screen. He just kept Creighton afloat in that first half, to the point where Creighton somehow found themselves up 1 at halftime, 35-34. And it's weird. At half, you could have looked at it and thought, you know what, man, Creighton's in pretty good shape. They didn't even play well, and they're up 1. But I don't know. I was torn on it. John Bishop and I were talking in half, and we both were looking at each other like, I don't know. Because I certainly could understand that. Like, hey, listen, Creighton didn't even play well. You're up one. But I felt like Creighton was totally out of sorts offensively, totally sped up. And I thought Baylor Shireman looked completely gassed. And then Trey Alexander was struggling. So, you know, when the second half was getting ready to unfold, I really wasn't sure how the second half would play out. But what I didn't expect to happen was what happened in the first 6-7 minutes of the second half, where Creighton comes out and Tennessee just proceeds to blitz Creighton. And all of a sudden, boom, 18-0 run, and Creighton goes from up one at half to all of a sudden they're down 16 points. And during that time, Creighton did all the things that you can't do against Tennessee in that stretch. They turned the ball over. They got hit on the offensive glass. They lost Dalton Connect a few times. And it just all of a sudden, in a few minutes, in a few moments, Creighton was in a major hole. And it was just surprising because for me, watching Tennessee on film, and I told a couple of people this. I can't even remember if I said it on the, I think I said it on the preview pod. Watching Tennessee on film, I honestly felt like other than Dalton Connect, Tennessee was kind of just average offensively other than Connect. And I felt like, boy, other than Connect, I was confident that Creighton was going to be able to contain Tennessee. Like I was just like, I don't think Tennessee is going to be able to have a great day offensively. I didn't think they would be able to put a run like that on Creighton. But that 5, 6, 7 minutes, that stretch to start the second half, for all intents and purposes, was the difference in the game. We can talk until we're blue in the face about different matchups and if this guy plays better or whatever. Like there was 5 minutes where Creighton went completely just brain dead, and Tennessee put their foot on the gas, and that was it. Because when it was 55-39, I remember saying on the air that a 16-point lead for Tennessee is like a 26-point lead for anybody else with how they defend. So needless to say, I felt like things looked really bleak when Creighton got in that big hole. But give credit to the players and to Greg McDermott for staying calm, continuing to fight, continuing to compete, and for a defensive adjustment that really flipped the game. Greg McDermott busted out a triangle and two, a junk defense that they hadn't played all year. And a triangle and two is where you take two guys and you have them chase the other two, the opposing team's two best guards typically. And so what Creighton did was they put Trey Alexander on Dalton Connect and they put Steven Ashworth on Zakai Ziegler. And those guys just kind of tried to face guard, meaning not let them catch and chase them everywhere. And then Jason Green, Ryan Kalkbrenner, and Baylor Shireman formed like a triangle, like a in the middle of the floor, in the paint, a zone, if you will. And slowly but surely, Creighton started to string together some stops. That got Creighton out in transition, and Creighton started to make some shots, and that they started to just cut away at that lead and chip away at it and chip away at it and chip away at it, and Creighton got it all the way down to three. They cut the lead to 3 points. But, man, there were a few huge plays and sequences late in crunch time. Big news, I'm excited to be working with Autograph, co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today and use the referral code BAH, my last name, B-A-H-E. That's referral code BAH, B-A-H-E. See you at the game. So Creighton cuts the lead to 3, 62-59 with 6 minutes left. Trey Alexander is chasing Kinect because Creighton's in the triangle in two. Trey Alexander's chasing Dalton Kinect and tries to shortcut a pin down screen on the right side of the floor. He tries to, instead of staying attached to Kinect's body, he tries to go under the screen and shortcut it and meet him on the other side of the pick. And Kinect reads the screen perfectly, fades back to the right wing, smokes a three. 65-59 now, Tennessee leads. Ashworth responds with a three, not 65-62. Creighton, still in their triangle in two. Kinect has the ball about 40 feet from the basket on towards the left sideline. He gets a ball screen set for him. Trey Alexander, because he's chasing him in a triangle and two, goes over the top of this ball screen, which was the right move. And Shireman, who was the top of the triangle, he needed to be ready to get out and hedge and get into Kinect's body and buy Trey Alexander time to then get back to Kinect. But instead, Shireman was kind of caught flat-footed back inside the three-point line, and Kinect is able to come off a ball screen and just dribble into a three from the left wing and drills it. Now it's 68-62 with 4:30 to play. So Creighton, down three twice, didn't stay attached to Dalton Kinect's body and made two mistakes, and Dalton Kinect made two huge threes. But at 68-62, Ashworth makes a layup, drives down, makes a layup. So now it's 68-64 with about 4 minutes left. Creighton gets a stop, and now they outlet it, and they're off to the races. And this was where that controversial missed call happened, where Steven Ashworth, who made a really poor decision and a poor pass trying to throw the ball ahead to Baylor Shireman, his pass looked like Dalton Kinect touched it before it went out of bounds. But the refs called it Tennessee ball. So instead of Creighton having the ball down four, 68-64 with 4 minutes left, they turn it over and Tennessee had it. Now, as far as what I thought about that play, I thought it looked like Kinect touched it, but I wasn't totally sure in real time, and neither were the refs. I thought they were honestly, because there was no real call in the moment. I thought they'd get together, and nobody really had a great read on it, and I thought they were maybe just going to call it a jump ball, which would have been possession arrow for Creighton, but they didn't do that, and it felt like a big call and a big moment. But from that point on, it's 68-64. Creighton got stops, and Tennessee was stuck on 68 for a little bit. Creighton held Tennessee scoreless for 2 minutes, but the problem was Creighton couldn't score, and Creighton gave up two offensive rebounds in that stretch, which led to defending longer and Tennessee chewing more clock. So Creighton had the ball twice, down 68-64, and didn't score on either possession. Kalkbrenner ended up with the ball on both possessions and missed both shots. And then after giving up their second offensive rebound in this two-minute sequence, Creighton gives up an and-one to Tobe Awaka, and Tobe Awaka makes the free throw to make it now 71-64 with a minute 50 left. And for all intents and purposes, the game was over at that point. Creighton had the ball down four twice and couldn't convert either time. Creighton on defense twice, down three, gave up two threes to Kinect. Ugh. So incredible comeback. And Creighton had their chances late and just couldn't either get a timely stop or a timely rebound or a timely shot. And when you're climbing that mountain out of that 16-point hole that you found yourself in, there is something to the psyche and something really happens to the momentum of the game if you can tie it. And Creighton, you know, they're down 16. They're chipping away. They get it to three. Then it gets pushed back out to six. And then they get it back to three. And then it gets pushed back out to six. And then they get it to four. And they can't score. And they're still at four. And they can't score. They couldn't ever really fully tie the game. Just couldn't ever fully get there. Again, incredible comeback. Incredible fight. Great adjustment from Greg McDermott to go to the triangle in two, but Creighton just couldn't quite finish the job. And Creighton falls to Tennessee 82-75. Frustrating. Frustrating because I really think Creighton matched up really well with Purdue. Kalkbrenner would have tried to guard Edie one-on-one. I mean, three-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, I think Creighton's plan would have said, going to play one-on-one in the post. That would have been fun to see what that looked like. Purdue relies on, you know, because of Edie, drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line. Well, Creighton doesn't foul. Purdue isn't uber athletic, which is good for Creighton, like I talked about at the top of this pod. I just thought Creighton had a really good chance at beating Purdue. And that's not to say, I'm not saying that because I don't think Purdue's good, but it goes back to what I'm talking about, that matchup thing. I just think Creighton was matched up pretty well against Purdue. But didn't matter because they couldn't get past Tennessee. I didn't think Creighton played well, really. I mean, Trey Alexander struggled mightily. Didn't really feel like it was Kalkbrenner's best game either. He only had 6 points in the second half, and he was just 2-for-7 from the floor in the second half. I mean, Creighton, they give up that 18-0 run, and yet they were right there with 2 minutes left. But that's just how it goes in March, man. If you don't bring your A game, you are getting sent home when you play good teams. Period. Going into the game, I said Creighton needed to take care of the ball. And Creighton only had 9 turnovers, but man, I didn't think they handled the ball pressure from Tennessee well at all. I said Creighton needed to keep Tennessee off the offensive glass. Tennessee had 12 offensive rebounds for the game, but 8 offensive rebounds came in the second half alone, and all 15 of Tennessee's second chance points came in the second half. So when they really needed to keep Tennessee off the glass, they couldn't do it. I said Creighton needed to slow down Dalton Knecht. Knecht finished with 24 points. Now he had to take 21 shots to do it, but he still got the 24 points and he made some huge, huge shots. And Creighton had to make more threes than Tennessee. They just did. Tennessee is not a great three-point shooting team outside of Dalton Knecht. They were coming off a game where the Vols were 3-for-25 from three against Texas. And Creighton, obviously, the strength of their team is their three-point shooting. And they ended up both making 11 threes, but keep in mind, Creighton threw in 2 late garbage time threes. So in all reality, Tennessee made more threes when it mattered. And that just couldn't happen. For Creighton to win, they needed to emphatically win the three-point battle. And that didn't happen. So you add all that up, and that's how you end up with a loss. But quite frankly, as I kind of write all this stuff out, like you look at it, if someone before the game would have come up to me and said, Nick, I'm from the future. Let me tell you how this game goes. Creighton doesn't handle the Tennessee on-ball pressure well at all. Creighton gives up 12 offensive rebounds, 15 second chance points. All those second chance points are in the second half. Dalton Knecht scores 24 points. Tennessee wins the three-point battle. And, oh, by the way, Trey Alexander has one of his worst games of the year. Someone would have come up to me and said all of that before the game, I'd have been like, oh, man, did Tennessee win by like 15, 20 points? But no, somehow Creighton hung in there and had their chances late, which is equally impressive and equally frustrating. One more thought I wanted to get into the game. Being courtside, I can't begin to tell you how gassed Baylor Shireman was. And yet he found a way to dig deep and make some plays. I told, and you can ask John Bishop this, I told John Bishop at the first media timeout of the game, we go to commercial, I told Bishop, I said, Shireman is completely gassed. And something was bothering him. He was not 100%. Something was bothering him with his left leg. It was either his knee or his foot or something. I mean, you should have, when he came out to warm up at halftime, watching him try to get loose looked like me trying to like get loose after waking up in the morning at 39 years old. I was like, wow, what? He was really laboring, but somehow he dug deep to gut it out. And I mean, he had one, I don't know if people caught this. He had one whole entire offensive possession in the second half where he was so tired that he went over and stood with his hands on his knees, just bent over, gasping and trying to catch his breath and rest for an entire possession because he needed to catch his breath and he needed a break. So for me, like seeing all that, his production and output was that much more impressive given how much he was just hurting and gassed. But it's weird. I thought other than Steven Ashworth looked like he had some pop, like he looked fresh and he looked like he was moving well. And then Jason Green, because he doesn't play very much, and so he was fresh. Other than Ashworth and Green, I thought Creighton looked tired from the start, which is weird. I just didn't think they had like a lot of juice. Again, it's weird because Creighton had 5 whole days of rest before they played this game. But I just thought the energy level from the team just seemed not quite there. And maybe that's a product of riding those top 3 guys heavy minutes all year. Maybe it just caught up to them. I don't know. But I thought Kalkbrenner, Shireman, and Trey Alexander all seemed just a step slow and a little uncharacteristically out of gas. Especially Shireman. Shireman looked like something was wrong. But it was just, that's what made it so much. I mean, this dude was hurting, grimacing. And he then would chase connect off 3 screens, be there in the catch, and then would get the ball and like drive into a war zone of Tennessee players and like score. I was just like, look at this warrior. So just another observation I had with that game. So there you go. Creighton season comes to an end in the Sweet 16, losing to Tennessee. So this now sets up a really fascinating offseason here with a lot of potential roster movement. Who knows? Tons to monitor and track over the next few weeks and months. And I'll have some thoughts on Creighton's offseason coming soon on a podcast. So keep an eye out for that. But another fun ride of Creighton basketball comes to an end. This core group, it's the last we're going to see of Shireman, Kalkbrenner, and Trey Alexander all together. What a run, man. They get to the Elite Eight last year. They're 1 second away from the Final Four, and they get to the Sweet 16 this year. And, man, they're a couple of plays away from getting back to the Elite Eight. And then who knows? Just couldn't quite get over the hump. But this group took Creighton to uncharted territory for this Creighton program. So big salute to this core group, man. It's been fun to watch. And I can't wait to see what the future holds for Blue Jay basketball.